Pastor Dave Rolfe says the church has got to be about the Lord's business and nothing else.
Every day I have stacks of mail and I have lots of calls and emails, and people have all kinds of ideas of cool things that we could do that don't involve what he says the church is supposed to be about. And I'm sorry, but he is the authority. And I want to respond to his authority by sticking with what he says to do, and that is focusing on the Word of God.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Jesus has all authority, but how will you respond to that authority? Maybe there's an area of our lives where we're not bowing our knee to his authority. Let's identify that and learn how to submit to God's authority the right way, today on The Balanced Word. Welcome to our program. Pastor Dave Rolfe is going through Mark right now. Today we're in chapter 11, where we find a number of people responding to the authority of Jesus in very different ways. See which best describes you. Here's Pastor Dave.
Look at how much stuff is happening around churches that has nothing to do with anything except a way to find success. I mean, frankly, I think when you take the message of a church and you turn it into 10 steps for success and here's how you can have a better life and if you give, then you're going to get rich and all, there are so many ways to do the same thing, work the same system, where the church is just there as a way to increase the riches of certain people at the expense of other people. And I think that the Lord is just as upset by it today as he was then. In those days, he went in and literally ripped the place apart. He kicked over tables. People who were trying to run out with their stuff, he wouldn't let them go. Now, a couple interesting things about Jesus. Now, there are people who would say that Jesus is this really skinny, sissy, kind of meek and mild guy, because that's their image of Jesus. It's hard to imagine a guy like that cleaning house at the temple. But on the other hand, don't be so fast, because if you think that Jesus was this big, studly monster because that's your idea of perfection and he was a perfect man, therefore he looked like Brock Lesnar, 6'3", 285, 4% body fat, you know. Try riding a baby donkey when you're Brock Lesnar, you know. It's not a man, explain to your wives who Brock Lesnar is really quick, and then we'll come back. But 2-time NCAA wrestling champion, UFC heavyweight champion, okay? But so the same guy who had the power to tip over these tables is the same guy who could ride a baby donkey. Weird, but he had the authority, and therefore he could do things that might have been uncharacteristic with his capacities. Was he huge? Was he tiny? I don't know. He was whatever he needed to be. But the question is, in terms of response to his authority, it's his house. What do you do with it? Do you do what he says? Do you say, you're the boss, so we will do what you tell us to do? Or do we turn the church into a place where, well, people aren't into prayer, we don't want to do that, and, you know, this message of the gospel is kind of unpopular, and so we need to turn this into more of a social club. Or we need to turn this into more of a political agenda, or we need to turn this into all about you and make man at the center. No, we don't need to turn it into anything. We need to let it be what he says it's supposed to be. He is the Lord of the church. He is the authority. Do we respond to him or not? I can think of all kinds of cool things that you could do in church other than doing what he says to do. But since he is the Lord, I want to do what he wants us to do. Now, every day I have stacks of mail and I have lots of calls and emails, and people have all kinds of ideas of cool things that we could do that don't involve what he says the church is supposed to be about. And I'm sorry, but he is the authority. And I want to respond to his authority by sticking with what he says to do, and that is focusing on the Word of God. For some people, they wish I'd get involved a little bit more politically. But I'm sorry, that's not what this house is about. There are other people who think, you know, we need to make more social comment. I'm sorry, but that's not what this house is about. We're about the gospel. We're about the Word of God. We're about praying. We're about caring about the world and praying how we can make a difference for them. And when we begin to lose our focus, inevitably, there are going to be tables that fill up with stuff that doesn't have anything to do with that which God has called us to do. And if he would come here, how many tables would he tip over? How many things would he see that we are spending our time and energy on that he would say, that's not my idea of what you ought to be doing? And we can't decide what church should be based on what we think people want. We can't design church to make it friendly to the unbeliever. Do I want our church to be friendly to unbelievers? Absolutely. Jesus died for them. I want them to come here and find out how their lives can be changed. But am I going to let them set the agenda for how we do that? No. We have one boss of this church, and it's not Dave Rolfe. It's Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, and I want to do what he tells us to do. I want to respond to his authority. I don't want him coming into my place of business and having him kick the tables over because I'm turning it into something that's about me instead of something that's about him. And that's why, you know, you don't see my face splashed all over everything. You go to our website, it's not all about Dave, plus the fact that I'm ugly. But besides that, I want it to be about Jesus. I want it to be about the gospel and about God's word. I don't want to set the agenda. I don't want to be the visionary that, no, I want him to be the visionary. And so here we see some examples. A donkey that does pretty good. A fig tree that doesn't do so well. The religious capital of worship, it's not doing so well. Bunch of people, street people, hanging out on the road, they do pretty well, and they praise him. Now, as we read on, skip down to verse 25 there. After Jesus talked about this, and oh, by the way, I wanted to mention, when Jesus was commenting on the withered fig tree, we noticed that he says, you can have authority too if you do what I tell you to do. We saw it already in the two disciples who went and said, the Lord has need of this donkey, so we're taking him. It's a nice feeling when you know what God's telling you and you can speak in his authority. But then there in verses 23 and 24, he says, if you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you can move mountains. Because prayer will allow you to see the authority of God functioning in your life. You can bring about a lot of changes if you're doing what he tells you to do. But now then, in talking about prayer in verses 25 and 26, he says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a tough one to swallow. God says, the Lord says, when you are doing what I tell you to do, make sure that you utilize that power to forgive that I have demonstrated. If you're going to pray, if you want God to work in your life and through you, if you want to use your gifts to bring glory to him, then you forgive other people. Don't expect God to use you. Don't expect him to answer your prayers. Don't expect him to forgive you. If you're bitter against people, if you won't forgive them, you're holding things against them, it doesn't work that way. When Jesus here just a couple of days later hung on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, do you want the power of God to work in your life? Do you want to wield his authority? Then a place to start is in forgiving others. Because If you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Now that sounds radical. You're going, wait a minute. If I hold the grudge against somebody else, God's not going to forgive me? Sounds crazy to me too. But Jesus said it, and he has the authority to say it. Whatever it means, I just want to say I believe it. What do I do with that? I want to forgive anyone, no matter what they've done to me. I don't want to be someone who carries grudges. And I don't want to pretend that I can do God's will while I'm not being a forgiving person. So often in our faith, we have such strong opinions about everything, but we look down our noses. When the church should be a place where you come and you're accepted and you feel the love of Jesus and his offer of forgiveness, so often the church is a place where you come and you know everyone's looking at you and judging you and looking down their nose at you. We are all guilty of that. God begins to work in our lives. We get better. Now we look around and we expect everyone else to be better in the same way that we are. Well, Jesus said, my authority tells you, number one, you forgive others. He must have known that this is a stumbling block for many of us. But he says, you have the authority that I'm giving you to forgive others. And if you do, you get in on the deal and I forgive you. If you don't, I don't forgive you. I don't want to deal with you. I'll curse you like I'll curse the fig tree that didn't bear fruit, because a part of the fruit we're supposed to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those are the kinds of traits that are supposed to be manifest in our lives. And a huge part of that is being able to forgive others. So can you do it? Well, it's a place to start. And maybe he starts there because it's one of the things that holds us back, that keeps us from really being the people that he wants us to be. Do you want to be forgiven? Then forgive others. And he says, do you want to have my authority and power work through you? Then you do this, and mountains will move. I wonder how many things God wants to do through us, and just because of our lack of forgiveness, it's not happening. It's holding back what God wants to do. That may sound weird, but that's what his word teaches. And again, he is the authority. What's my response? I want to do what he says. I want to obey him. I want to believe what he says and act upon it, because I would love to be an instrument of his authority. And the only way that can happen is if I say what he says and do what he does. Now, a lot of people just don't respond to authority at all. And we see at the end of the chapter, big time questioning of Jesus' authority. Verse 27, then they came again to Jerusalem as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, which those three groups together make up the Sanhedrin. These are the religious leaders. They came to him and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? Now, to be asked that question if you don't have authority is really intimidating. You know, you do something and then somebody goes, why do you have the authority to do what you just did? Boy, I remember how chilling it was when my phone would ring and Pastor Chuck would be on the other end and he'd say, Dave, by whose authority? I'm like, oh boy. I knew I was in trouble. But they came to Jesus, and this wasn't a threat to him at all, because he said, all authority has been given to me. And so they questioned his authority, and he played with them a little bit. He said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll answer that if you answer this. Tell me, was John the Baptist, was his baptism from heaven or was it from men? Well, they were like, oh, shoot, how are we going to answer this? Because if they said that John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus would say, then how come you don't believe John when John said you need to follow me? But if they said what they really thought, John was a nut and his baptism was just man-made, then the people would have ripped him apart because the people really venerated John the Baptist. So they said, we don't know, in verse 33. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. See, there's something about someone who has real authority. They don't have to flash their badge. They don't have to defend their authority. They know that they have authority. And when it comes to Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, he won't defend his authority. He won't prove to you that he is the Lord. He's not going to do little magic tricks for you so that you will follow him. He just tells you plainly, and he's proven many times in the past, he's the Lord. He doesn't defend his authority. There are some people who haven't accepted Jesus Christ because they're just a little skeptical about his claims of authority. And they just like him to defend himself. You know, I might believe in you if you could explain the problem of evil. Why does evil exist? I might believe in you if you would bring peace on the earth. If you would heal AIDS, then you might have my ear. Jesus has all authority. And he knows no matter what he does, there are some people who aren't going to believe in him because believing in him would be giving up their own perceived authority. You know, they don't want to quit living the way they live. And so nothing would prove it. And so when those people come and challenge him, he doesn't argue with them. He doesn't play that game. He doesn't defend himself. Frankly, I think an awful lot of what we do as Christians, we're trying to defend God. And a lot of what is in the name of apologetics, it's important to be able to reason with people who legitimately have some good questions. But often we find ourselves arguing with people that aren't going to be convinced no matter what we would tell them. And Jesus just doesn't bend over backwards to prove himself to those people. He basically says, I'm the Lord. You do what I say or you don't do what I say. What you do in response to my authority really doesn't affect my authority one bit. So let the chips fall where they will. You either obey me or you don't. And I think sometimes we ought to leave it at that when he does. We don't need to defend him all the time. C.S. Lewis said, you defend God the way you defend a lion. Open the cage and get out of the way. And you know what? I don't need to defend him. And I shouldn't be threatened by people who reject his authority. Often when I'm talking to people and I share God's word with them and what it says, it becomes really apparent to me that they're not going to do what God says no matter what. Why is it that I feel like I need to talk them into it? I'm through doing that. I really don't want to talk people into doing the right thing. All I can do is say, here's what he says. Do it or don't. It's your choice. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can reject him. I can tell you he's the Lord. I can tell you he died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He can give you an eternity in heaven. Hey, take a look in the mirror. Look what you've done with your own life. You really like what you've done with it? Come on, you've messed it up completely. However, I'm not going to get down on my knees and beg you. We're not going to have 12 verses of just as I am so I can talk you into coming to Jesus. He's the Lord. Do what he tells you to do or don't. It doesn't matter. He gives you that choice, and it's not going to change him if you don't do it. You're just another fig tree that didn't bear fruit, frankly. Or he'll go onto the donkey down the street. But he gives us an opportunity, and he has the authority. We have to decide what we're going to do with it. For many of us, we've bowed the knee to him. We call him Lord. We say that he has authority. Yes, I responded to his authority. I accepted his son. I'm going to heaven. And then he tells us to do things, and we just don't do it. Amazing. That we think that our will is more important than his. that somehow we have authority that trumps his authority. How can we be so satisfied ignoring what he tells us to do? Now, what are you supposed to do? I don't know. Where is it that he is laying a line down for you and saying, here's my authority, what are you going to do? Are you going to be a good little donkey and go along with what I'm telling you to do? Are you going to bear fruit? Are you going to worship me? Or are you going to reject me? That's okay either way. I'll be fine. I'll get done what I need to do. Now, you might go, I'm doing so much that he's told me to do. And you might be saying, I don't even know what he wants me to do. So how do I respond to his authority? Well, I would suggest that for most of us, there's probably at least one thing that if I say, what one area has God told you what to do and you haven't done it? Probably something pops into your head right away. You know there's an area of your life where you're not bowing your knee to his authority. Now, maybe you are in a bunch of other areas, but you may be blocking what God wants to do because in that one area you're being disobedient. The intelligent response to his authority is to submit to it. And if his authority is speaking to you in some area of your life, I suggest you go along with it. I suggest you do it. There's not much of a future for you being the Lord of your own life.
Today on The Balanced Word, we've been studying the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Dave Rolfe. And if you'd like to purchase the CD of today's message in Mark, go to thebalancedword.com. Or call 949-362-7475. That's 949-362-7475. You can also listen to these studies at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. Today we're pleased to offer you Pastor Dave's entire Through the Bible study on a USB. That includes a study of the Gospel of Mark. You'll go from Genesis to Revelation with Pastor Dave. So as for the Through the Bible study USB, available for a donation of $30 or more. Just call 949-362-7475 or go online to thebalancedword.com. Please remember that your gifts help to bring these shows to the radio every day on stations like this all across the nation. You can make a donation online at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. Virtually every Sunday, Pastor Dave teaches through the Word at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, and you're more than welcome to join us. We offer two Sunday morning services, and they begin at 8 and 10. For directions or more information about the church, go to ccpacifichills.org. You can also watch the live stream there at ccpacifichills.org in case you live outside the area or can't be with us in person. Take a look at Pastor Dave's one-minute message at thebalancedword.com, a great way to start the day, or watch on your lunch break. Again, thebalancedword.com is the place to go to watch that. If you'd like someone to pray for you, please do get in touch with us through our website at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. As we return to Dave, he addresses a frequently asked question.
You know, there's a lot of discussion among people as to, can you be a Christian and really not have Jesus be the Lord of your life? And people argue back and forth on that question. All I would say is, why would you even want to be a Christian if you're not going to do what he says? If you're not going to bow to his authority? If your response is, nah, why do you even want to call yourself a Christian? I don't know. I can't find where that magical line is that makes you've said nah enough that you're not really a Christian. And if that's you, and, you know, did you used to be a Christian and you aren't now, or can you become a Christian and then do whatever you want? And he doesn't make that clear, not so I'm certainly not going to. All I'm going to say is there he is, and he's speaking to you, and you know it. And he's the authority, whether you like it or not. How are you going to respond to his authority? How am I going to respond? How will our lives change when we start really letting him be the boss? When we start really acting like he is in charge? That's the question that's laid out for us. And we can either be the little donkey, we can be the withered fig tree, we can be the disciples who do what he says, we can be the critics who skeptically doubt everything, but ultimately, there he is on the throne with all authority. Will you let him tell you what to do?
We say we love God, but do we really know what that means and what it involves? Tomorrow on The Balanced Word, we discover how to love God as Pastor Dave enters Mark chapter 12. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And